Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meet Hunt Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, I'm not going to say anything about Pennywise because I did it on the last episode.
Yep, sure did. He's still there.
And joining us on this episode, you might recognize him from the previous episode. I'm talking, of course, about Ed Gonzalez and Hardcore Heather Owens. But, you know, we're not going to talk about the Squared Circle Expo this time. We're going to talk about Ed and Heather and wrestling and horror and haunting and Halloween. Ed and Heather, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank Hello. You. Thank Again. You for having us back. It's been so long.
Right, yeah, it's
even
been forever.
Put on the same shirt, just, you know, so we didn't get lost.
Yeah, well, there's, like I said, we had you guys on for the Squared Circle Expo episode, but there's more to the, there's so many more layers to this onion that we wanted to peel back because, you know, we try to find people that are perfect for the Wrestle Horror concept that we have, and you guys fit the mold, which is, you know, you're both former pro wrestlers, you're both haunt lovers, you're both horror lovers, you guys like paranormal. I mean, everything that we are about, you guys are about. So it's a perfect fit. And so we wanted to get on here and talk to you guys about you and your you know, your past and your futures and all that, and have some fun, share some fun stories. And also want to hear, I want to hear about Ed's love for Zumbas, because I know that's like infamous.
There's no M in it. It's
Zumbas. See, I told you I can't pronounce stuff right.
Yes, that's all he wears.
Yeah.
Pants wise, Zubaz, it's all like his drawer. There's legitimately 40 pairs
or more,
different colors. It's insane. Like when I do the laundry, let's be honest, I do the laundry. It's an entire load is just his pants.
All right.
Ridiculous.
Well, I do have to admit, back in my 20s, I did have a good collection of those style of pants myself. It was back in the MC Hammer days, but they weren't as elaborate as MC Hammer's. And I had these patent leather, shiny, just obnoxious British Knight high tops. And my wife despised my clothes. She's like,
I haven't heard anybody bring up British Knights.
Yeah.
No, let alone talking British Knight high top.
We're talking back in the 90s,
forever.
Man.
Ever. That throwback just hit me right in the heart, brother.
They're shiny black and she couldn't stand
I am
them.
I am a nostalgia man like you would never believe.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So, I mean, I get it. I can relate.
If I wasn't going bald, I would have a mullet. I'm telling you.
I'm embarrassed to say that I had several members only jackets when I was.
Oh, yeah. With a little. Oh. See, now, we're not talking about horror and we're not talking about wrestling, but when we start talking about the 80s, I get goosebumps, goose pimples.
Well, I love the 80s. So, Let's start at the beginning. What got you guys interested in pro wrestling?
Well, if we're starting at the beginning, you know,
that would be you.
That would be me. So in 1981, a man and a woman met. No, we're not going back that far. you know, I started wrestling. Here's how it happened. I lived in Iowa. All right. Davenport, Iowa. And if you guys weren't wrestling fans who knew who Seth Rollins was, you would have never in your life heard Davenport, Iowa, ever, right? You would have never have known what that was. So when I was a kid, that's where I grew up. That's why I fell in love with pro wrestling. As I got older, my mother got a job transfer. So when I was a teenager, we moved from Davenport, Iowa to basically Dayton, Ohio. And it was that time when I was there, I was watching MTV. On MTV was this show called True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler. And on that episode of True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler, one of those things that popped up on there was Les Thatcher. Les Thatcher's main event pro wrestling school. Me living in Dayton, Ohio at the time. Hey, Cincinnati, Ohio's 35, 40 minutes away. Well, the problem was I wasn't 18. I'd wait till I was 18 And then I found out that it was way expensive and I didn't have the money. So what I did was I went into an AOL chat room. Yeah, that's age, right? I went into an AOL chat room about pro wrestling. And, you know, back in the day, you could click on people's profiles, right? Or you could search and stuff like that. I typed in Springboro, Ohio, because that was the actual town I was in. And I typed in pro wrestling. And I searched throughout the vast world of AOL. That was a vast world back then. Right. I didn't even know you could get on the internet without AOL back then. So I got a pop. I got something came up and it said pro wrestler, Springboro, Ohio, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I hit him with an ASL. I'm joking. I did not. If you guys know what ASL meant, that means you're too old. But I hit him with that and, you know, found out he lived real close to me. And look, I don't like to say that I'm a liar. I like to say I'm a worker. Okay. So there's a little bit of a difference.
There you go.
So I didn't want this guy to think I was a jabron. So I told him I'd already been in the business. I told him I was already a wrestler. I was an injured wrestler who was thinking about getting back in the ring, you know, but the internet was like this big. I figured I could bluff my way through it. Right. So he was like, cool, come to my ring. And the ring was in Hamilton, Ohio. That's where he housed it at.
Right.
And I basically started training myself there and I sucked and I was awful and I was terrible. And then I met Shark Boy and he taught me how to at least be less sucky, less terrible, and less awful. And then I met Cody Hawk, and he taught me how to be even less sucky, less terrible, and less awful. So now I only suck a little bit. And that was pretty much it. That was like my whole story. And then I became the jobber to the stars because I enjoyed the drive-thru more than I enjoyed the gym. So.
Well, you was pretty much living the carny life at the start there before you even knew what it was.
Exactly, brother. Exactly.
Heather, what about you?
So, yeah. Now, I didn't start actually like getting into wrestling, watching wrestling or anything like that until like the late 90s. Or like, yeah, it was like mid to late 90s.
She's a baby.
That young. But so my dad, he actually ended up getting like it was like 10 or 15 tickets to a WWF event at the time. It was Raw it was like 1997. So me and a bunch of little boys from my class and like two of their dads, we all went to Cincinnati Gardens. And that was my very first real experience with wrestling. And I had no idea who anybody was, but there was this guy called Stone Cold Steve Austin that ran out during almost every single match with a steel chair and was just like knocking people out. And I was so intrigued. I was like, what the hell is this? This is great. So I was instantly pulled into the entertainment factor of it. So, you know, ever since then, you know, I started getting into wrestling, you know, like fan wise. And as soon as I graduated high school, within like 2 months, I went to Les Thatcher's pro wrestling, you know, school. But so I'd actually, you know, I gave the money, like I had saved a while. So yes, it was expensive, but you know, to go to a reputable school, like a college.
Oh, you were a good one.
I was a good one.
Yeah, I was
paid,
not.
I paid, you know, but I only did it for about 2 or 3 months. And then I ended up actually quitting.
Why'd you quit?
I quit because I chose a boy over wrestling.
Not this boy.
Oh,
no,
man.
I was not. But, you know, it was one of those situations that being a female, regardless if it's in wrestling or another, you know, predominantly male you know, area, if you're with somebody, they're gonna be like, I don't like you being around all those guys. They're only trying to do one thing. And
yeah, learn a headlock.
I don't like guys touching you. I was naive. I went to the boy route. Okay. So I left for about 3 years. I started in 02, left in 02, came back in 05 when we weren't together anymore. So
lucky for me.
I actually went, So I was at the gym, ran into a wrestler at the time named Gotti.
The
other dark meat, Gotti. He was a local boy.
Boy?
I know.
Gotti was 45 years old back then.
He was young. He looked older. So anyway, he was like, hey, well, we, you know, I work for, you know, HWA and stuff, but there's another company up in Mount Healthy.
That's right.
And they were called Queen City Wrestling. And so he was up there and I was like, well, I'll go up there and check out the shows. So then I started going to a couple local indie shows. And then May of 2005, I actually started training at QCW. And then I was the only girl there. And the main promoter owner at that time didn't want me wrestling guys on live shows. So it is what it is. So I just reffed. But then word got back to Cody
at the HWA
that I was back into the business, and he said that I'm more than welcome to come back to HWA because I had actually, you know, I had paid
in full.
So they're like, you are more than welcome to come back. And that's where I went back, and I had my very first match December 30th 2005 for HWA.
'05.
Wow. Yeah.
We were married by 07.
I know.
Work fast.
I know. So, yeah.
So, you know, I looked a little bit on your Wikipedia, Heather, and I've seen you've got quite a few accolades over the years and several championships. How was the overall experience up until you when you retired at War, which was a big deal, and you know, I still hear people talk about that. How was all that experience in between when you really started getting into it and your retirement?
So when I started, there was only a handful of girls.
Right.
And now there's so many girls. So like, it's amazing how much it's grown. And these girls now are good. Back when I got into the business, there was only a few of us good girls that trained with the boys and knew the logistics of a wrestling match. Pretty much everybody else were valets and you know,
girlfriends
yeah. of, you know, the boys or whatever. So that's definitely changed for the positive.
Oh, by far.
But yeah, so when I started, I had to work pretty much the same, you know, two girls or whatever for all the shows. Like me and Nevaeh, we were married to each other for, you know, 2 or 3 years. And then, like, if I would do a show, if she wasn't available, it'd be like, all right, well, who's the littlest guy on the card? So, you know, I'd wrestle the smaller boys. But then throughout the years, I started going against, you know, some of the bigger guys. Because me personally, and in the wrestling business, like, I'm a strong, dominant, you know, don't take shit from anybody type person. So, and you're not going to break me. I'm not one of those real little girls. So they started, you know, I started wrestling some of the bigger guys. And
I got to live with her. After all that, I got to live with her.
So, yeah. So the whole hardcore Heather Owens thing is, it's not just because, oh, she does hardcore wrestling and stuff. Honestly, I have only had, I don't even like to call them hardcore matches. I call them street fights. Like, I've had maybe less than 10 street fights in my entire career. I've only bled 5 times maybe. So, but the whole hardcore part of it was, you know, I am tough. I will go against anybody. So I think just throughout the years, being looked at as just a wrestler and not just as a girl wrestler was huge. And I think that's the direction a lot has gone, is we're just wrestlers, you know, we just have, you know, boobs. So some of the
Hey, some of us do too.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the girls nowadays, they are super tough, and it's...
God, they're so talented. They're so talented, it makes me sick.
Yeah. And of course, when I got inducted into the War Hall of Fame, the very first woman ever, and originally, it's no surprise, like, you know, Tom puts it out there that he was not into girl wrestling. I wasn't a fan of girl wrestling. I didn't grow up watching it. I love Chyna because Chyna was one of the boys. Mm-hmm. So that is how I looked at it. You know, I love the people like, you know, Medusa and Chyna and Luna and Jazz, you know, these are badass women fighting boys. So when I got inducted, it was huge for me. I know it was huge for Tom because I feel like I had changed his mind on women in wrestling. So that was a huge thing for me.
Very cool. I'm going to hit you guys with a question, put you on the spot for when in a certain scenario, you both decide to lace the boots up again. You both get in the ring against each other. There's one chair laying in the center of the ring. Who goes for it first?
Well, we would both. Well, so we've wrestled each other enough times at like
9 states, I think we wrestled each other.
And I feel like that's why we're still married, is because when you wrestle each other in the ring, it's not domestic violence. So you can we would beat the shit out of each other.
Bruh. Bruh. Listen, no, hold on. You're talking about this chair. F that chair. All right. Just for the record, chair ain't got nothing. All right. Listen, well, I'm going to tell this story real quick. There's one time we were in
Aberdeen,
Ohio. See, she even knew before I even got. So we decided to do this thing. What do we call it? Domestic violence tour, right? So we were going to go to all these places and just beat the hell out of each other and get paid, right? Well, we were in Aberdeen, Ohio for WWC, our World Wrestling Coalition.
There you go.
And the building that the show was in was, because Aberdeen, Ohio is like as small as this table. Like, that's how big the whole city is. So the building we were wrestling in was not just the gymnasium for the wrestling, but it was also their city building to where their judges and their court and all that stuff was. It was also the same building where the police were at. It was also the same building where they had like school classes, like actual classes. So it was like this all-purpose city building. Somehow, a domestic violence match, by the way, just basically a fancy hardcore match with like ironing boards and brooms and, you know, stuff like that.
Household items.
So there was somehow a science textbook ended up in the ring. It had to have come from one of those school classrooms. I mean, it was, you know, it was a science book, yo. I mean, it was, you know, I know we're all old and we haven't been to high school in a while, but y'all remember those books.
Oh, for sure.
We were working. Heather liked to do this spot where she would do the drop toe hold. I would drape over the ropes like a 619, except she would go boss man style and just kind of run and jump on your back. You know what I mean? So this broad calls for the drop toe hold. So I know the spot that's going on. Boom. I'm in the ropes. I'm waiting for her ass to come hit me in the back. Nice, soft, padded rear end. You know what I mean? Instead, this chick takes that science book and hits me in the back with it like I owed her money. And I am telling you guys, I have been in the ring with some of the biggest men in the business. I have been in the ring with men that have main evented WrestleMania. And nobody has ever hit me as hard as Heather hit me in the back with that damn science book.
But I feel like when you live with somebody, it's all those like you know, weeks and months of, you know, not having the garbage taken out and the dishes not being done. It's all built up. And
right? When you can
beat your significant other up in front of a live crowd.
Yeah, so and not go to jail.
Right.
So I may have hit him a little bit harder than I should have. Oh. But to be fair, it was safe.
Oh.
It may have jolted him.
Oh, because those books, they're slick, you know? Mm. Like they're glossy.
Yep.
When that hits you in the back,
I think
the sting.
You weren't expecting it.
No. So
that was the biggest thing. But I just remember, because you know, you're draped on the ropes. I'm looking around the ring, and then I look down, I see the book, and I'm like, and I pick up the book, I open it, I read like a sentence, and then I whack him.
Oh.
That's okay, because then we did the chops in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And dude, he had me, and he's just like, and I was like, you son of a bitch. And then I was like, oh my God. So
Oh my God, she got her receipt.
Oh yeah.
But that was also 10 years ago or longer.
Yes,
and I'm still telling you that story. So that's the impression that book left in my back.
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever figure out what you did at the house to warrant that shot?
Dude, I don't even know. I think she was punishing me for stuff I ain't done yet.
Well, hopefully we don't have to wrestle again because it might be a little bit harder.
So the moral of your story and the question is Heather would I would probably get the chair, but Heather would find the biology book. And get me back. So
nice.
I can still see that book, by the way. Like I can see it. There was a red bug on the front of it on a leaf. God.
But real quick though, the finish of the match. So he used to do the Rick Rude standover, you know, oh, I'm so sexy, whatever. So he did that, and I'm laying underneath him. I grab his junk and then I roll him up. And that was the finish of the match.
Nice.
Yes. Man, I wish I was recorded somewhere.
This was before everybody had cell phones.
I know, right?
So,
God, we're old enough to say that.
Back in my day, we had a big old camera.
We had Polaroids.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Polaroids, definitely. And we had papers, too.
That used to be big money maker back in the day.
That's one thing Tracy always told me.
The Polaroids, man.
Tracy Smothers always told me that wherever you go, make sure that you have your own table and you have a Polaroid camera.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The honky tonk man taught me to bring my own toilet paper and my own vodka.
That's all sage advice.
So let's talk about Halloween horror and haunting, because I know you guys are into that as well. I mean, we were discussing Pennywise when we were off the air. What really got you guys? I mean, let me start here. Do you like to go to haunted houses during the season?
Yes. Now, I did not at one point, and it really had nothing to do with being scared of them. I just, my mentality was, look, some dude's going to like, and I'm gonna deck them, like, and I don't want to go to jail for that. That's like the worst way to go to jail. So I didn't like them because I didn't want to fight somebody.
Okay.
However, Heather, she softened me up in my old age. She said, Lord, I can change him, and she did. And so we started going to the haunted houses.
Yes. So like the haunted houses and stuff. But I'm the type of person that I know what to expect. I've gone to so many.
Yeah.
So I'm usually always, people are scared. I'm the one in the front. I'm the one just walking through. Then I'm like, what's up, guys? Blah. So it takes a lot to actually scare me when it comes to something like that, which is, I think, the reason that I do the actual ghost investigations and things like that, going to legitimate haunted places, because that is that little, the unknown. The unknown is just beyond me.
What you may not realize is that there's nicknames for people in the haunt industry. It's same as in the wrestling industry. And you saying that you go first and all that, and everybody goes behind you, you actually do have a name, and it's called a meat curtain.
Or a meat shield.
Or a meat shield.
Filthy.
Yeah. A meat shield. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm that's... not gonna ever refer to myself. That, so.
That's what the haunters call the people that go in the front to protect everybody else. Yep, they're called the meat shield, meat curtain, all kind of meat bag. It's all kind of stuff.
I like meat shield. I like
meat shield. Okay.
Let me show you that misconception. What it is, what an actual meat shield is when a guy that goes is too scared and puts his girlfriend in the front as a meat shield. And I've seen it time and time again. I'm retired from the haunt attraction industry. I did it for, you know, years. And I worked at places like the Dent Schoolhouse. I worked at Indy Scream Park. I worked at Scaratorium in Columbus, many places. And it used to tickle me when they would put the girl up front. Like, I'm going to get her and you. So. Yeah.
What was the one we went to? We went to one. Well, we've been to Den a few times. What was the one we only went to one last year?
The legitimate, like the tour?
No. The haunted house, like the actual, like haunted house. But it was like a whole town. It was like a whole town.
Oh,
I know where
we went with Dooner.
Yeah, what was that called?
Oh, it was over on the east side. Like Amelia, Batavia, like it was.
It's called All Hallows Eve.
It was like a trail. And it was like a whole...
It was like a whole city.
Village.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it off my head, but...
Oh, it was a good time, though, because they had, like, shops, and it wasn't just, like, a haunted, like, trail.
Right.
It was like a city. Like, it was cool.
Yeah, I personally like the trails better than the, you know, like the...
Houses
or the boats. And things like that.
It's a terror town, by the way.
Terror town. That's what it was. Because it's old West town when it's not Halloween time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because we went when COVID was still
a thing. COVID. I mean, it still is. Yeah. But.
But yeah, no, that was one of the first like huge, you know, event things with people that we went to. But it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, let's talk about the paranormal, since you're a big fan of that, Heather. I mean, Ed, how much of it do you love? Are you still one of the
so here's my thing, all right? I am a skeptic. I've always been a skeptic. It's just, you know, if I've never seen it or experienced it, it's hard for me to believe it. And I know the argument to that is, well, have you ever seen $1 billion? Well, no, but... Then how do you know that exists and you haven't seen it? I get that. I've always been a skeptic when it comes to the paranormal. However, I love the paranormal when it comes to stuff like movies. I am one of my favorite things to do is to study the, God, I feel like a nerd saying that. I love
nothing else.
Yeah, nothing else screams nerd. But right. I love to study the Warrens. So Ed and Lorraine Warren. At any given point in time, if I'm not at work, if I'm not working on our convention, if I'm not filming our YouTube, I am studying one of the case files of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I am super fascinated with the paranormal, mostly demonic possession, but that still doesn't mean that I'm a believer. I am a skeptic, but I enjoy a good story. That's the pro wrestler in me. If it's a good story, it's a good story. It doesn't matter if it's real or not.
Sure.
But Heather, on the other hand, she's a strong believer, but I think that's what makes us work.
It's a lot of yin and yang with this. So I think my biggest thing with the paranormal is growing up, I personally feel that I have seen things and have experienced things. My mother, she was always, you know, into the paranormal, my aunt. So it was just like the family that I grew up with. I was also I grew up in the Catholic Church. So there was a lot that to do with it as well, I think.
Okay.
But no, I feel like I've seen things, you know, heard, smelled, So, I mean, I get a lot of people are like, until you experience it. Well, I've experienced it. Now, I haven't experienced like, you know, like scratches or anything like that.
Stigmata.
Yeah, like anything like that. It's just, you know, the subtle things. Now, within the last couple of years, I have been going on more investigations, been to Waverly.
That's the one I went with yes. It was Waverly.
So he, it was like a 2-hour tour. Mm-hmm. It was like during the day when it started to go into nights. Mm-hmm. Because he loves the history of like old buildings and just the history of things. I did the spend the night twice. And being able to try to communicate with something beyond, it's mind-boggling, you know, and especially a lot of times when we're recording things, you don't see it right away.
Right.
But later when I'm going through all the audio that, you know, from the night before, you ask questions and then you hear, and I'm just like, oh my God. And I'm like replaying. And I'm just like, that was not us. So I'm like super giddy. And then
she'll be like, did you hear this? Listen.
And I'm just like, what did you hear? And he's like, no, they're he's like,
okay, oh, a couple times.
That wasn't us. So I don't know. I love the beyond, you know, like it does scare the shit out of me, but I know that there is something beyond this, you know, aliens, all of that fully.
Now I believe in aliens.
Aliens
exist. I'm just saying, I ain't seen one.
Yeah.
But
they're out there.
Cryptozoologies, you know, the.
Again,
I'm chupacabras.
Fascinated with cryptozoology.
Like, yes.
Fascinated with it. Cryptos. But like, yeah, like my love for it is not because it's just such good stories. You know, the Ed and Lorraine Warren case files are fascinating. I just discovered not too long ago, we did together, that because we live in Northern Kentucky, mm-hmm. we're in Hebron, Kentucky.
Yes.
That there is a murder house mm-hmm. like 2 miles away from us. And I want to go to it, but people live there.
Yes.
And I want to like study it.
We drove past, we're like, there it is.
Like, I want to study the history of it. Heather wants to find a ghost.
And the thing is too, like I can tell, you know, I pick up a lot of, you know, I feel the energy, you know, that's my thing is like, you know, if you go somewhere, I'm just like, ooh, this is not good. So I'm like, I'm out. But I don't know. Like, I want him to feel
she shit wants like me that. To experience something it. So that like I can be like, I was wrong, you were right the whole time. So
but, Ed, did you go to Waverly with Heather?
I did, on not one of the overnights.
Okay.
I just did like the normal day tour where we had like a guide and they kind of like, this is the spot where this happened, this is the spot where that happened, that kind of stuff.
But the reason I asked that is because if you went on a night investigation, Heather, you should know this very well, the fourth floor.
Which one's the fourth floor? You gotta give me a little hint.
Is that the one that's the one with the dark spirit, right?
All the shadow people.
With the nurse, with the
that's the fifth. One floor down.
Okay, no, then I don't know.
The fourth is a very dark, honestly, I personally didn't do much on the fourth. It's the third floor that is a lot of like the veterans, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So I did a lot on the third floor trying to communicate with, you know, the veterans and stuff like that, because my grandpa had just passed away at the time and he was, you know, an army guy. And so I felt a little more connected to the third floor. Obviously the fifth floor, you know, it's open, where she hung herself, where the kids are. I like experiencing and hearing things, the little stuff. I don't want the big stuff. And the fourth floor is the big stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to shit my pants if I see this big black thing come at me. I'm gone.
Oh, I remember the conversation about that.
Because we were on that.
Yes.
Like,
because they hadn't
it was
even
just getting darker and they walked people down. They're like, did you see somebody come out of the...
But so again, you know, pro wrestling, I look for the work in everything.
You think everybody's working everybody.
And, you know, it has nothing to do with whether I You know, I think the people that are working the drive-thru at McDonald's are working me somehow. Like, I'm always looking for the work, right? And I appreciate the work. I want people to understand that. If I go, dude, you're working me, that doesn't mean, dude, why are you lying to me? That's, dude, you're working me, and I appreciate it because I appreciate the work. Now, if I remember right,
yes,
when we were doing that thing and we got to the fourth floor, our tour guide was like, I don't know if we can go to the fourth floor because it's a little, you know, there's a lot of activity on the fourth floor and we don't want anything bad to happen. And of course, it's going to make everybody go, we got to go to the fourth floor.
Not me though. I'm just like, oh, the bad stuff? No, I'm good. I want the okay.
So she got on her walkie-talkie and was like, is it cool if I take group B to the fourth floor? I know you guys were just there. Oh, I do. And then they were like, yeah, you guys can go, but be careful. And they were like, we can go. And the whole time I'm going, this is brilliant. I love it.
I've actually been to Waverly 3 times. Okay. And the fourth floor, the second time I went, I took my wife with me. And she's very much a paranormal person, as I am. I'm the hopeful skeptic. She's the complete believer. And they did the thing where they sent people down the hallway like you were talking about. And I literally watched her disappear into darkness. I mean, it wasn't a fade. It was black all of a sudden. And she said she felt tingling. She didn't feel anything bad, but she felt tingling.
Right.
And then she stepped back out of the blackness just as quickly as she disappeared into it. Now, on the second time that she and I went and took the walk. And I saw a large black shadow running towards me. And I said,
I'm out. Screw that. That's when Heather's gone. Nope, I'm good.
Maybe that's what I need, though. Maybe that's what I need.
The coming to Jesus moment.
So where else have you investigated, Heather?
Okay, so I've done Waverly the overnight twice. Most recently, the one that I went with Shauna Reed, I actually had brought her. Since I've done the ghost stuff before, she had never really, you know, she was into it, but never, you know, went to an actual location and did the investigation. Well, I have a friend, Beth and Nick, and they're the ones that kind of coordinate all of this. You know, that's their thing. They have all the equipment. So I like to tag along with them. They got everything. So then I was like, come on, Shauna, we're taking a trip down to Tennessee. And it was right outside of Chattanooga. It was South Pittsburgh. And it was at a closed down hospital. And
that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. And we did the spend the nights and everything over there. And, there were a few things that were like, what? But overall, I think I had higher hopes that I just didn't experience as much as I wanted to. But one of the things that was like huge there is nothing really worked there. Like the power was off of the entire building. Mm. Right. So the elevator, they had an elevator in there, and we're leaving like the base, which was a couple rooms over. That's just kind of where you just kind of rested, had your snacks and whatever. So we heard this like swarming sound, like this buzzing. It sounded like massive amounts of like bugs, you know? So we heard this and we're like, there's like 6 of us. What the hell is this? And then so we started walking and we're like, dude, it's the elevator making noise. And we're like, what? And then we got the, you know, the devices and everything to check for, you know, like see if there's any electric, anything, nothing, as it's buzzing at us. And we're like, what? And then it stopped. Didn't do it again the entire night, nothing. So we're just like, oh, well, at least all of us saw it. So that was kind of like a huge thing.
Didn't we wrestled in a haunted building in Hamilton, Ohio?
Post town. So I'm sure.
Post town.
Yeah. So with, you know, being local, right. Post town is in Hamilton. We wrestled at the gym.
Okay.
And then my friend Beth Beth and Nick actually lived there for a couple of years. So they like help coordinate tours and stuff there. But Post Town is Shauna, she just did a photo shoot there and everything. Right. So, I mean, I haven't done an overnight or anything there. But I mean, yeah, no, we definitely wrestled there and you just get a weird feeling, okay. You know, even if you're not told it's haunted, I know that I'm just like, oh, it's real heavy in here. Like there's some shit like that I can't see.
Being that you're in Northern Kentucky, you've not tried Bobby Mackey's?
So funny story with that is me and Shauna actually, so we went to the Loveland Castle. We made an entire day out of, you know, local ghost hunting type stuff. So we went to like the Loveland Castle. Oh my God, I forget. Like we just went to a bunch of random places and then we're like, well, let's go to Bobby Mackey's because surprisingly, I've never been there.
It's not, just, it's not very far from us.
I pass it all the time because a lot of times I would go that way to go to work. So I pass it and I'm like, oh, there it is. And it's just looking at that building, you're like, oh, it's real like kind of sketchy. And plus there's the train that runs right next to it. Mm-hmm. So we got there and it was like 3:00. They don't open until 4:00. So we're there and I was like, we're just getting, walking around the building and taking pictures. And I'm like, all right. I was like, I ain't waiting around for another 45 minutes. So I personally have never been in there. I know she's done the tour and everything like that. So I know I will eventually do Bobby Mackey's.
Well, that's another one where you need to take Ed, because I've done Bobby Mackey's.
I know the owner of Bobby Mackey's. I do business with her. Okay. Or at least his wife, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
It was quite an experience when I went. Stuff moving. Everything they say about it's usually true, what they talk about.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm a skeptic, and don't get me wrong. I am always looking to debunk something. And there was stuff in there I just couldn't debunk.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, because isn't there like a vortex or something like real heavy there?
There is. There is.
I thought the vortex was at King's Island.
No, that's gone too.
Oh, okay.
It's the gateway to hell down in the basement. That's pretty strong.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, let's not take him down there because, I mean, he's knocking already, man.
So, okay, man. You know, we could go on forever and ever, but I'm sure you guys got things to do, and I know me and Donnie got to start prepping some stuff. So, Donnie, before we go, you have to ask the question to both of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But real quick before I do that, though, I wanted to ask them about their podcast because they are also podcasters. And
it's not really a podcast. Well, she does a podcast. Mm-hmm. But us together, we don't do a podcast. If you look behind us, right?
Mm-hmm.
we are Funko Pop Collectors. And we do run a YouTube channel called Pop Drunk, where under normal circumstances, we like to open Funko Pop mystery boxes and drink copious amounts of liquor. It's just a beautiful combination of two things. Yeah. You can find us on YouTube at Pop Drunk for happy hour. I will warn you, our videos are not 4-minute videos like most of the Funko Pop videos that are on YouTube. We're 30, 45 minutes, an hour, because we like to drink and have a good time.
It's experience.
That's right. That's why we call it happy hour.
Yeah.
Taking them all.
But also, you can check us out on Instagram. And you can check us out on Instagram at
Pop_drunk_.
And yeah, lots of toys, booze, and since this is wrestle horror, sometimes I get real drunk and tell crazy pro wrestling stories. So
nice.
Some that would probably, if I was any good, would have got me kicked out of the Hall of Fame.
Very cool. Yeah, and definitely go to their YouTube channel because they are set up and their background is just amazing. It's just, that's fun to look at.
And what about your podcast, Heather?
So I actually have a podcast. It's called The Best Friend Show. And I do it with my best friend, Jade.
I thought I was your best friend.
No. You, I'm your best
friend. That's what
friend.
The
song. Oh. Oh, all right.
But yeah, no, we started that maybe 2 years ago, I think. maybe longer than that. But yeah, I mean, we just kind of talk about everything, you know, I mean,
girl stuff,
but both of us, shut up, but both of us aren't your typical girls. So, you know, we cover everything, you know, we have a couple drinks. We may have some snacks. We like to try the new Oreos and new snacks when they come out and give our reviews. So, you know, we just hang out. A reason for us to hang out and talk. But yes, it is the Best Friend Show podcast, and we are on all of the platforms that you get your podcasts. So, yeah, check us out.
Cool. Jim, I think we're missing out on that drinking part. We need to start adding that into ours.
I've done it sometimes when we were recording, but you know, I got my bottle of scotch someplace.
All right. All right. Let me hit you guys with the question now.
Uh-oh.
I say, if you haven't listened to the show, it's there's no right or wrong answer. It's all for fun. It's right up your guys' alley for creativity purposes. And each of you answer your own question, give your own answer. So you guys are the main characters in your own horror film, the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
So we're the killer.
Right.
Right.
Like my go-to weapon, like what am I using?
Yeah, whatever you want to do, a weapon or just your go-to kill scenario, however you want to come up with it.
So as a child of the 80s, a child that grew up in that blockbuster generation, renting those VHS tapes, brother, you know, the coolest, I know I catch heat for this sometimes, but the coolest weapon in horror history, my opinion, is the razor glove from Freddy Krueger. Now, if it were up to me, I would add one to the thumb and I would put it on both hands and go, that's what I would do.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. I'll be honest, I've never thought about this.
Well, I'm going to digress, okay, being that I heard about that science book story.
Steve would like to take a biology book.
Yeah, knock him out and, you know, keep him in the basement like Leatherface or something. Kind of like the torture. No, honestly, I think just straight up just a good old, just big ass knife.
Like a machete.
Because I always tell myself that, you know, I'm not a gun person. So if somebody tries to come at me, like somebody tries to break in, I'm gonna go for the knives. I'm gonna go after them. So I feel like I'm just gonna chop, chop, stab.
There you go.
Yeah, nothing fancy.
Well, you like, you know, we've not had any repeats of any answers since we've started asking this question. So it's great to hear different takes on how people want to kill people, and there's been some unique.
Not want to, have to.
There you go.
Difference.
Well, Ed, Heather, it has been an absolute pleasure once again to talk with you and get some stories about wrestling and ghost hunting and stuff like that. Is there any kind of social media you want to throw out there for yourselves that you haven't already?
Make sure you check out Pop Drunk on YouTube, Pop_Drunk_ on Instagram, but also check out SquaredCircleX.com. I don't know if this will post before or after the event, but if it's after, you can get all the information for the upcoming. And if it's before, you can get tickets for what we got going on now.
Yeah, and for me, for social media, I'm H2 Owens on pretty much every single platform. You know, I just like to post my daily life. I like to motivate. I like to just show my life and share it with everybody. Check out Best Friend Show podcast.
I don't like to motivate. I like to make sure that I have cooler toys than you do.
Yes. Right. He likes stuff.
It's that you me thing.
Yin and yang, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, this is a nice toy, Heather. Look at mine. <It's>
like, right. Mm-hmm. He who dies with the most toys wins.
Right.
For Donnie Hoover, I'm Meat Hook Jim with our guests, Hardcore Heather Owens. Ed, I forgot your last name. I'm kidding.
Bro! Oh, I got to do a job on a podcast too? Damn. Remembered all 3 hours.
Thanks for watching. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Peace.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.